Hi, everyone, and welcome to Hot Off the Mess, a podcast brought to you by The Dip. I am your host, Samantha Bush. I hope everyone had a great weekend. I'm coming to you feeling a ton of emotions right now. I'm feeling agitated. I'm feeling emotionally hungover from yesterday, which I'll get into. But right now, I just want to rant really quick about my fucking windows in my building. Okay, so I live in a building that was built in like 1920 something. And it's an Albert Kahn building, who's like this very famous architect in Detroit. I'm sure he has buildings other places, but it is what it is. He was very into like Art Deco Gatsby energy. Okay. So the building that I live in was restored. They kept a lot of the original hardware, the original elevators. I mean, it's really cool. But they also kept the original windows. So they kept like the original sizing, because windows back then, I think, were a lot wider, is the impression that I'm getting. But they redid them with like this like brass gold window frame or whatever it's called. I don't know really what I'm talking about, but you guys get the gist. So these windows, I've talked about it because I believe on this podcast I discussed how Barb almost committed suicide on the window ledge, but I'm literally living in a hellstorm. So the windows don't seal properly, so they whistle when it's really, really windy. And for some reason, like on my street, it is a fucking wind tunnel. Okay. It doesn't matter if it's a light breeze, whatever. And the whistling doesn't happen all the time, but when it's heavy wind or storm, it's insane. And Barb's getting into a box. Like, you guys, this is so chaotic. I have a completely new mic setup. I'm such a goddamn professional. And then this shit happens. It's like, deep breath. Okay. So the windows whistle. And I had written to my leasing office and I had even voice memoed them a recording of the whistling. And because I was like, this is so loud. Like, I'm not crazy. Like, this isn't like little breezes. Like, this is wild how loud it is. And it's hard to sleep. And I shouldn't have, and sometimes it like alleviates it a little bit if you like open it just a tad, but it's like, it's December in Michigan. Like, I'm not opening my windows. It's that I shouldn't have to. So I'm ranting. These are like such first world problems, but I don't give a fuck. I'm going to rant about it. So they were like, okay, we'll get someone to come up and look at it. So the guy comes up, he's a fucking mansplainer asshole, who is like, well, have you tried to seal the windows with the, like to lock the windows? And I looked at him and I was like, yes. He's like, well, that should take care of it. And he did it and it fucking didn't. And then he looked at me and it was like this realization that like, oh, I'm not just making this up and being annoying. Like, it actually is really loud. And he was like, well, I don't know like what we can do because we're not allowed to seal the windows. Like, are you fucking kidding me? It's so absurd. So I'm trying to record this podcast and it sounds like I have the fucking seven dwarfs living in my apartment whistling on their way to work. Like, that is truly how I feel right now. I feel like I'm losing my goddamn mind. But you know what? That's enough of that. I'm so sorry. I just had to get that off my chest because it was like I started recording and it was fine. And then I tried recording again and I couldn't get my mind right because all I could hear was this whistling noise. And I don't know if it's just my apartment. I have a feeling it's not. I have a feeling it's not just mine, but whatever. Okay. Getting back into the actual episode here. I am, like I said, a little emotionally hungover. I'm not hungover due to alcohol consumption or anything like that. I am hungover because I had the biggest cry fest of my life yesterday for probably 2.5 hours. I was full sobbing. I had a great day. It was a normal day. You know, Ruby had a great day. I was so happy, like no anxieties from her. Like everything was really, really good. I get home and like everything that I have gone through hit me. I don't know what prompted it. I don't know if it's because Deja Vu is the number one most listened to song of my 2021 Spotify Wrapped, and that, you know, now that it's on the top of the list of my Spotify, it comes up a lot, and that her album Sour triggers so many of my emotions. It's absolutely crazy. So of course I was like, you know what? I haven't cried in a long time, like really, really cried. And I was like, I'm going to just let it out. I'm going to lean into this. So I fully went, leaned into my sobbing and started writing down all of my feelings and listened to Adele. I mean, I was like emotionally waterboarding myself. I was like, I need to get these feelings out. So I just want to talk about that. Listen, I normally am okay with being single. I'm okay with dating. I'm really in a place now where I'm trying to find the fun in it. But I just want to say fuck the toxic positivity for just like a second, because I just want to be real. It fucking sucks. And I think for me, the holidays is a trigger. And I had no idea that I would become that person where holidays are triggering for me, being alone. And it kind of just came on a little unexpectedly. So I feel like I have just been avoiding feelings because I'm not a wallower. Like, I do not wallow in my feelings at all. I'm very much a person that, like, when things happen to me, I digest it. I say, okay, that hurt, or that didn't make me feel good, or that is sad. But I'm like, I have to keep going. Like, you just got to put one foot in front of the other and you just got to like move on. But I think that there's like this happy medium that I just haven't seemed to find, where I don't think you need to wallow in your feelings. I mean, if that's what you do and that works for you, that's great. It's just not something that I don't think works for me. Now my cat's meowing. I mean, I truly live in a hellscape over here. But I can't just keep moving on from stuff. Like, I have to process it and digest it. And I thought that that's what I had been doing for the last 6 months, you know, because I mean, if you ask any of my friends, I was the person that, like, I wouldn't necessarily jump from like relationship to relationship, because not all of them were relationships, but I would always be talking to someone. I would always have, you know, I would always have a boy. Like, there was always someone that I was talking to. And, you know, my friends, of course, would be like, Sam, I think like you need to process. And I was like, no, I'm really fine. Like, everything is okay. Because I felt okay. Like, I find myself being, I think of myself as a very strong, independent person. And so I was like, I'm okay. Everything's fine. And everything was not fine. And I would get into these like weird relationships, or non, you know, as people call them, situationships, which I think is much more common now. I found myself becoming just like exhausted. And so then I met someone last winter that I've talked about on this podcast before. And I mean, I wrote about it on thedip.com. It's about like heartbreak and this new Hinge prompt, which is a dating app. But the prompt on Hinge is really out of control. It's the voice prompt that people are doing. I just don't enjoy it at all whatsoever. But so I was dating someone and it was just a really nice relationship. Like, it was something that, you know, I never felt broken. I didn't feel damaged with him. Like, he never made me feel crazy. He listened. I'm literally describing like the basis of like being a good person, but it's like, whatever. He would like listen to my feelings. Like, he would acknowledge them. He would digest. Like, he was a good person. He was a really good person. And I just thought like we had a really good like foundation, like a really solid, like, I don't know. I liked it. I liked whatever it was. I thought it was nice. So when it ended, that one really fucked me up. And not in a way where I've been fucked up by relationships, like because I've been so in love with someone and like so devastated and hurt. This one came out of nowhere. And this one hurt more because I was like, wait, like what happened? Like, I don't understand what happened. So I was like, after that, I was like, you know what? And I was starting my new job at The Dip. I was now doing something I loved completely full time. I got out of working in a dental office, which I loved a few people that I worked with there. But overall, I like hated my life. It was so stagnant. I felt so complacent. I felt like I wasn't going anywhere. I don't know. I just So when he broke up with me, I was like, okay, I have this new job. I'm moving soon. Like, things are going to start happening and it's going to be okay. And so I really just have taken the last like 6 months to really like not date. Like, I don't talk to boys, like that's not, or men, I don't know, but you know, and there was a guy that like kind of came back around in September who had like apparently liked me for a long time, but I realized like, I don't have those feelings for you. And it was like, that was hard to like tell him that. I'm rambling, but I'm just like working through all of this because last night, like I said, I was like a total wreck. I was a wreck. And I really was writing down all of my feelings last night that I have been avoiding saying out loud. And I think, you know, I have a really hard time having the last word. I don't like having the last word. It's not something that makes me feel comfortable. It makes me feel incredibly vulnerable. So I was really just writing about some of the past relationships and the things that I wish I would have said to them. And they, I mean, they're not bad things. I, you know, I'm not wishing I cussed people out because there's no one in my life that I've dated who I hate. I mean, there's one guy who is a demon from hell. He's Voldemort, but everyone else is, they were good people. It just like didn't work out for whatever reason. And I just, you know, there were certain things where I wish I would have said something. And I finally just wrote all that down and it felt good. It felt good to cry. I mean, my eyes were stinging. Like, and it pulled me back out of it because, you know, my friends were like, Sam, like, let it out. Like, it's okay. You know, talk about it. Be open. Be honest with yourself. And I was like, I literally was writing things down. Like, I sound like such an asshole right now. Like, I sounded so cheesy. The things I was writing, like, I literally saved it in my computer. Do not ever read this again. Because the things that I was writing down, it was absurd. Like, and they were really, it's really how I feel. But putting it into, like, cheesy, it was so crazy. I was really on one. I don't know. It was wild. And then of course, like, you know, you do have this fear, I think, as a single woman or man, I think anybody, but I think women feel this way because like, especially if you want to have children and you want to have a family and, you know, I live in the Midwest. So like everybody is doing that right now and you feel like you're being left behind or you're like, it's never going to happen for you, or you're just never going to meet someone. And it's like this whole thing. And I mean, I was like spiraling out of control last night. Like every emotion that you could feel, I felt last night. And Ruby was staring at me like, what the fuck is going on? Because she's never seen me like cry like that. I've cried a little bit in front of her, but about her. So it's like one tear falls. But I just really wanted to talk about it because I feel like it's important that, you know, if you are in a similar position to me, that you don't feel alone, especially around the holidays, because it's hard because, you know, you're going to start seeing engagements, you're going to start seeing lots of couple photos in front of Christmas trees, and you're going to see cute winter shit. And it fucking sucks. And I'm just going to say that it fucking sucks to be alone sometimes. There are other times where it's lovely. I can do whatever I want. I can come home and look like shit and I don't care. And I understand that there's positive aspects to being alone. But sometimes, I mean, and I think as someone who thinks of themselves as independent, I think it's okay to acknowledge that it sucks and it hurts. And I just want, if you feel that way, that, you know, you're not alone. And if you want to cry and listen to Adele, listen to Be Loved, you know, do it. I had that shit on repeat. Like, I was in it, you guys. So that's that on that. Sorry. I just had to get that off my chest. Like I said, it's just, and now the whistling of the windows, it's just a great, it's very chaotic. Okay, so let's take a quick break. And we will get into some pop culture. All right. Now that we are back from that emotional waterboarding that I just did on everybody, my apologies. Deeply sorry. Let's talk about a couple that just needs to fucking end. And I hope that they're officially done. I'm talking about one, Khloe Kardashian and Tristan Thompson. We have to say enough is enough. last week, it was announced that Tristan is being sued for child support by his personal trainer, Marley Nichols. When this news story broke, I clutched my pearls. I gasped because I was like, there's no way. Because it first was announced via The Sun, which is kind of like, you know, kind of Daily Mail, kind of like a little shady, a little, you know, make stuff up, if you will. So I was like, there's no fucking way this is real. Okay. Because it also was like, this woman is due in 2 days, like whatever. So I just read the headline and I was like, no fucking way. No fucking way he did this to Chloe again. I mean, he didn't get other girls pregnant. I mean, we don't know. But then I scrolled down and I read. And Tristan admitted in court that he had sexual relations with Mara Lee back in March at a birthday celebration and several other times, saying that he would fly to Texas, she would fly to California. They had like a little relationship. And like, keep in mind, he was dating Chloe at this time when he allegedly conceived this child with his personal trainer. Now, I don't know if him and Chloe are still together, but if they are, she needs to dump his ass immediately and never, ever, ever get back with him, ever. According to Us Weekly, he initially ordered genetic testing back in July before filing an amended petition in Texas court last month. And then Page Six reported that there was an alleged text message exchange between Tristan and Marley. Page Six said, it was reported that the basketball player appeared to threaten his alleged baby mama to drop her paternity lawsuit against him in exchange for $75,000. I don't know about you guys, but this man is worth millions. Feels like $75,000 is a little low. And then they go on to say, in a text message purportedly sent to Nichols, obtained by Page Six in a legal filing, Thompson allegedly told her that she will receive far less money if he's ordered to pay child support under Texas law. He said, you allegedly said, you are aware that I'm retiring after this season. So in terms of support, it will be whatever is required monthly for someone who's unemployed. It's Texas, so it will only be a couple hundred dollars. So you are better off taking $75,000 I'm offering because you won't get nothing near that with having a child with a father who's unemployed. Well, Marley gave birth in California. So that changes things. And I just have to say, like I said a little earlier, that I hope Chloe is fucking done with him. But at this point, if she takes him back, even now, I don't feel that bad for her. And that might be really harsh and that might be really mean, but I feel like that is what Chloe needs. Like, she needs someone to be fucking real with her. And I need Kimmy K to sit her ass down and cuss her the fuck out and be like, why do not take this man back? And honestly, for me, as a, you know, obviously an outsider, just reading things and seeing things on social media, whatever, ever since the whole Jordan Woods scandal, like, something about Chloe just hasn't sat right with my spirit. Like, Chloe used to be my favorite. And then I don't know. So after Lamar, she got a little, there was something about how she and her entire family treated Jordan, especially on social media, that I just thought was so wrong. Because Jordan, I believe, was like 21 at this time, like so young, and was getting bullied on social media by the most famous family in the world for something that Tristan allegedly initiated at his house. And she came clean about it. She told them what happened. And yet he's the one that gets taken back over and over again. And Kylie ends up losing her best friend, who was a very, very good friend to her. And I just think was put in a really shitty situation. And I just don't think that that's fair. And people can say like, oh, well, he's True's dad. So, you know, he has to be in her life. And it's like, yeah, he does. But that doesn't mean you have to take him back. And I have to say that I think at the Kardashian reunion that was taped like back, May or June of this year, you could tell that the family is not on board with Tristan. Like, you could just tell Kim is not one that plays like that. Like, if you fuck around on her family, like, remember when she chased that one girl up the stairs in an episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians because Scott had like a girl snuck over? Yeah, like, Kim is not about it. I mean, we saw what she did with Tristan, like after the whole Jordan stuff. So I just think she was like trying to be supportive of Chloe. But at this point, like, you just can't support it. You just can't. He's a fucking cheater, pumpkin eater. And Chloe doesn't need that. I don't think any woman needs that in their life. And they should take out a page of Lala Kent's book and leave his ass. That I have respect for Lala for that. Because she talks a lot of talk, but she also walks the walk. You know, like she says a lot of shit like, I would never put up with that. I would never do this. And she's right. She wouldn't. And she fucking walked away. And I was like, I respect the fuck out of that. So, which brings me to Vanderpump Rules. James Kennedy and Raquel Levis of Vanderpump Rules broke up over the week. It is alleged that she gave him the ring back at the reunion that they filmed on Friday. Now, these rumors were swirling. We weren't completely sure, you know, what the truth was. But then they announced on Instagram, of course, that they just fell out of love with each other and they're no longer together and they want, you know, to keep it positive moving forward. And then Raquel posted videos of her moving stuff in or out of a storage unit, unclear. I think it was out because I think, you know, she obviously had to like move into somewhere else or move back with her parents. But I will say, I don't want to say I saw this coming because I don't want to sound like a know-it-all, but something about them had felt a little off this season. And at first I wasn't sure if it was just this season just being weird, right? But if you go back and watch the proposal that he did, the Rachella or whatever, her reaction was very strange to me. I also think she was maybe a little drunk, like they had been partying all day. So that could definitely have contributed to her maybe having a weird reaction. But something just felt off. And then, of course, there's the whole nose situation, which is very bizarre how they're discussing this nose job and him going in for a hard kiss. I was like, what the fuck? Like, what is going on? And honestly, I say this about a lot of people that date men like James, like, for example, Jax and Brittany. Like, if you decide to be with a man like Jax or James, you are going to have to be apologizing a lot on his behalf. You're going to have to be having to explain his behavior. And I just don't subscribe to this idea that just because you meet a man and he's only nice to you, but he's an asshole to the world. I don't like that for anybody. I think it's fucking weird. I know it's like very romanticized in like TV and movies, like the asshole, he's mean to everyone else, but he's, you know, he treats you like a princess. It's like, why do you want to be with someone like that? Why do you want to be with a fucking asshole and make excuses for his shitty behavior and always have to walk on eggshells around everybody and always have to have excuses for his actions? Like, I would be fucking exhausted. And eventually, like, I just think it wears on you. It might be fine the first couple months. Like, you might think like, oh my God, I'm so special because he's choosing to be nice to me. But it's like, baby girl, that's like manipulation. And that's like, not okay. And I just think that that's what was happening with James and Raquel. And I never really saw them have a chemistry, if we're being completely honest. I don't know. I think there is love there, but I don't think they had good chemistry. Now, you know who did have chemistry? James and Lala. They had chemistry. They have a connection and they always have. And that is why, like, they love so hard and they both fight so hard. And I'm just saying, like, they're both sober now. They're both into music. You know, they're both going through breakups. I'm just saying, if Vanderpump Rules decides to come back for another season, that's what I want to fucking see. I want to see a James and Lala reunion. I want to see them flirting with each other, maybe dating. I'm rooting for it, if we're being honest. I would love to see little Jamesy as a stepdaddy to Ocean. You know? Because he loved Lala so much that even, like, he would say weird shit in front of Raquel about Lala. Like, he was a wild animal when it came to her. Like, he would do anything for her. And that is also, like, he was the only one that would ever talk shit about Randall to her. Because he was like, this man sucks. This man is awful. And of course, she didn't like it because she said on her podcast earlier this week, or last week, I mean, you know, she's like, I had my head in the sand about a lot of shit. She's like, I didn't see it. I should have had my eyes open and they weren't. They were, girl, they were super glued shut. So yeah, I am excited to see how that all works out. You know, Katie Maloney and Tom Schwartz did not film in person because of COVID. They might have been exposed. So there's that. And then Lala, same thing by exposure. So that is why they were not there. And I think production told the cast to take down, because Raquel had posted like the pictures of the chairs at the reunion seating, and people noticed that there wasn't, you know, enough. But I also want to get, I want to get eyes and ears on Tom Sandoval and see what he's saying about the breakup, because he did spend a lot of money on that proposal. I'm just saying, it wasn't money well spent. And he's opening a bar potentially, so I'd be a little pissed. Ariana needs to rein that man in a little bit, because he's acting a fool this season. A damn fool. And then lastly, I want to talk about Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, the episode that aired on Sunday. I need to talk this out because, as Christine Biancavilla, friend of the pod, internet bestie, she said on Twitter, I have no idea what I just watched, but it was art. And that is accurate. My head hurts from that episode. It hurts. There was so much going on. And like, I had like whiplash from some of it. There were so many like alliances and fights, and like, gifts were being given, planes were being ridden. I don't know, but my heart is full because I enjoyed every minute of it. I first want to address the statement that was made by Mary M. Cosby. She said, you know, the Mexicans who make all the drugs. Excuse me? What are you saying? What the fuck are you saying? I need that to be addressed. And Lisa Barlow on Twitter did say that she does get into that with Mary later on in the season. She said, keep watching, period. So Lisa Barlow, we're going to keep watching, because I feel like that needs to be addressed. And then we got to talk about Lisa and Whitney. These are two women, okay, who are incredibly different people, okay? They are women who speak different languages. They do not communicate on the same, they're not on the same planet as each other. Like, just, it's a miss. Like, they're constantly just missing one another. And then also, I mean, they clearly just don't like each other. So that also doesn't add, it doesn't help the situation at all. But it's frustrating to watch, because it's like, I think Whitney definitely just has like a bone to pick with Lisa, and Lisa is obviously a master shitster, which that is why she deserves the center snowflake and not Heather Gay, because she is just in the fucking mix, and that is what I love in a housewife. Also someone who drinks Diet Coke, eats Taco Bell, and does it all flawlessly wearing a fur coat. Abso-fucking-lutely, sign me the fuck up, okay? Let me get behind that girl. Let me hitch my wagon to that horse. That's what I'm saying. Now, with Whitney, you know, I struggle with Whitney. I think she's a good person. I just don't necessarily, I find her to be frustrating to watch, because she so clearly wants everything to be Lisa's fault that she's like, she kind of looks kind of crazy. I'm sorry. Like, very crazy. And then this whole situation with Mary and her cult and Cameron and everything, I was confused because Lisa, see, I really got to talk this out because, like I said, my head hurts from the episode. I watched it a few times. Lisa seemed to go downstairs because she was like, I just talked all this shit. I'm going to talk to Mary about it. She told Mary exactly what she said. She told Mary what she heard. Am I wrong? So I'm like, why are they mad? They don't need to know everything that was said by Lisa to Mary. And then Meredith. Whew, Meredith is getting worked up. Meredith is getting worked the fuck up. I think Meredith is going through something. I know the death of her dad is probably very difficult, obviously. And I think we see that in the mid-season trailer that came after the episode, that is definitely addressed, because she's so emotional about her family. And I think when you lose someone, like, it makes you just double down even harder and like want to protect your family even more. And I totally get it. And she was making sense. Like, she was making sense. I definitely think she needs to let the Brooke stuff go, for being a little honest. It's like we're beating that dead horse. And then Heather is so confusing to me. I find Heather Gay to be so confusing, because one second she's like, you know, Lisa, I want you to tell me everything. And then she's like, but why is Lisa saying all of this? It's like, what the fuck do you want from everybody? It's like when she was on the you know, Sprinter van when after Jen Shaw got arrested, and she was like, well, do you think that they've been watching her? Like, yes, bitch. Like, what? Yes, obviously. I don't know if you guys have insight or anything. Like, my eyes are starting to close just because I'm so confused by all of this and all of the dynamics. I just found so crazy, so complicated. And I'm ready for Jen Shaw to be back on my screen. I'm ready to see what goes on with Jenny, little Jennifer, because she seemed to attack Lisa Barlow in a van at some point this season coming up. And I'm not thrilled about that, but I definitely want to watch it. You know, I don't know. I mean, maybe Adele was right. Adele did say on Nikki Tutorials YouTube over the weekend that Bravo will kill her brain. And I was like, yeah, that is true. Because right now my head is spinning. Okay, spinning. So that is pretty much all I have to discuss today. I really feel like I covered a very wide range of topics, starting with, you know, my mental breakdown to Tristan and Chloe. It was, you know, all over the board. But I mean, it is hot off the mess. I am the Hot Mess Express over here. Thank you all for listening. I will see you around on the Instagrams. And of course, you can use code HOTM at thedip.com for 20% off at the dip. And I will see you and talk to you all soon. Bye.